for our retreat. Today I would like to clarify some points in the technique of this Vipassana meditation. The principle of mindfulness meditation or Vipassana meditation is to be mindful of, to be aware of any activity of body and mind at it really occurs. This is the principle. Another word, any mental states or physical process must be watched or must be observed as it really occurs. Another word, you have to watch or observe whatever arises in your body and mind as it really occurs. This is the principle. The purpose of Vipassana meditation or mindfulness meditation is to realize specific and general characteristics of mental and physical phenomena in their true nature. The purpose of Vipassana meditation or mindfulness meditation is to realize the specific and general characteristics of mental and physical phenomena in their true nature. In other words, the purpose of Vipassana meditation is to free from all kinds of suffering, dukkha, by exterminating all mental defilements such as desire, greed, hatred, ignorance, conceit, and so on, through realization of bodily and mental phenomena in their true nature. So first of all, Vipassana meditator must strive his best to realize specific and general characteristics of mental and physical phenomena. If he has realized the specific and general characteristics of mental and physical phenomena, he will be able to remove the wrong view of a personality, individuality, self or soul. When this wrong view has been removed, there won't arise any mental defilements or negative mental states, which are the causes of suffering. When these mental defilements have been eradicated, then there won't arise any suffering at all when the cause is destroyed. You don't have any effect of that cause. So when mental defilements, the cause of suffering has been removed. There won't arise any suffering at all. Then you attain the cessation of a suffering and live in peace and happiness. This is the purpose of Vipassana meditation or mindfulness meditation. Then to remove these mental defilements, you have to realize the true nature of mental physical phenomena, or in another word, specific and general characteristics of mental physical phenomena. To realize the specific and general characteristics of mental and physical phenomena, you need to watch or observe whatever arises in your body and mind as it really occurs. When your mindfulness becomes continuous, constant, and uninterrupted, then your concentration becomes deeper and deeper. When concentration becomes deeper, you can realize the specific and general characteristic of mental and physical phenomena. That is why we have to be mindful of, we have to be aware of any mental states or any physical process that arises at the present moment. Then here, you may get puzzled about the specific and general characteristics of mental and physical phenomena. If you haven't heard of it before, every mental state, physical phenomena or material unit has its own distinctive feature. For example, out of the four material elements which constitute so-called a person, a being, out of these, what are these four primary material elements? They are Prithvi-dhatu, earth element, Avo-dhatu, water element, Tejo-dhatu, fire element, and Vayo-dhatu, wind or air element. These are the four primary material elements which constitute so-called a person, a being, a boy or a man or a woman. Together with the consciousness and the mental states, these are four primary material elements are called a person, a man or a woman. So out of these four, Prithvi-dhatu, earth element, has its distinctive feature which is not in common with the other mental states or physical process, or which is different from the other mental states and physical process. What's that? Earth element has a hardness and softness as its distinctive feature, which does not belong to any other mental states or physical process. So this hardness and softness belongs to only earth element, Atavijatu. Though we say earth element, it's not really earth. It refers to the hardness and softness. Because this characteristic of hardness and softness doesn't belong to any other mental state or physical process. They are called individual characteristics of what we call the earth element, or specific characteristics of earth element. When you feel your body, any part of your body, if you feel with your hand, you may find a hardness or softness. That is Patavidadu, earth element. Avodadu, water element, has no hardness and softness. Tejodadu, fire element, has no hardness and softness. Vayodadu, wind or air element, has no hardness and softness. Only earth element has this feature of hardness and softness as its specific characteristics. So hardness and softness is the specific characteristic of Patavidadu earth element. It includes and your physical phenomena. If you feel any part of your body with your hand, you will find either hardness or softness. That's the earth element, which must be thoroughly realized as it really occurs by a meditator. Then water element, Abhutatu, has the fluidity and cohesion as its specific characteristics. Sometimes while you are concentrating on rise and fall and movement, or lifting, pushing, and dropping of the foot, or bending and stretching of the arms, sometimes you may feel fluidity in your body, or sometimes you may feel tear. These are specific characteristics of Abhutatu water elements. When you walk, observe each movement of the foot as lifting, pushing, dropping, lifting, pushing, dropping. Sometimes you feel the sole of your foot sticking to something. Something is sticking to the sole of your foot while walking. Then you look at the sole of the foot, but there is nothing. But actually there cohesion or stickiness feeling, that is our Dhatu, water element, specific characteristic of a water element. So in this way, water element has fluidity and cohesion as its characteristics, which must be thoroughly realized by a meditator. Then the third one, Tejo Dhatu, we call it a fire element. There's no better word for this Tejo Dhatu, the word Tejo Dhatu. So we have to use fire. Actually, it's not a fire. It's a temperature. Temperature. So, Tejo Dhatu has heat and cold as its specific characteristics or individual characteristics, which does not belong to any other mental states or physical phenomena. That's why heat and cold is called a specific characteristic of a fire element or Tejo Dhatu. When you concentrate your mind on any part of your body, you may feel cold or you may feel hot. That cold, the feeling of a cold or hot, feeling of heat, is a specific or individual characteristics of a fire element. Sometimes, during contemplation of a rise and fall movement, you may feel hot, very, very hot. Sometimes you feel hot, cold. In this season, especially you feel hot. That is Tejo Dhatu. It must be thoroughly realized as it really occurs by a meditator. Then, the fourth one, Vayu Dhatu, wind element or air element, has the characteristics of movements, motion, vibrating, vibration, and supporting. So, you have in your body a lot of the characteristic of a wind or air element. Movements, motion, vibration, support. When you breathe in, then the wind or the air in the abdomen moves forward, then you say as rising. When you breathe out, the wind in the stomach or in the abdomen moves backward or inward. In this way, outward movements, inward movements, is the specific characteristic of wind element. It must be thoroughly realized by meditator. That's why you have to observe the abdominal movement, and whenever it arises, you observe it, make a mental note as rising. When it falls, you observe it and make a mental note as falling, rising, falling. Rising movements and falling movements are the specific individual characteristic of a wind or air element. When your concentration is not yet good enough, you see the outward movement together with the form of the abdomen. In the same way, inward movement also together with the form of the abdomen. Then you say your abdomen moves outward, your abdomen moves inward. Sometimes your abdomen moves upward, your abdomen moves downward. When you are mindfulness on the rise and fall of the abdomen becomes a continuous and constant to a certain extent, then the mind is well concentrated on each process of rising movement and falling movement. When the concentrations become deep enough, then there arises the insight knowledge that penetrates into the process of rising and falling movement. And then you are able to realize just rising movement and just falling movement without being conscious of the form of the abdomen. You lose the sense of rising, the sense of the form of the abdomen. What you are realizing at that moment is just movements, outward movements and inward movements, or upward movement and downward movements, without being conscious of the form of the abdomen. Just movements, emotions, sometimes a vibration, is realized as it is because of a deep concentration. If you are able to realize that just inward movement, outward movement, or upward movement, downward movement, you are realizing the specific characteristics of a wind element. That's why I said the purpose of Vipassana meditation is to realize the specific characteristics of mental and physical phenomena. Then, if you can realize yes, rising movement and falling movement without being conscious of the form of the abdomen, then you don't take this movement to be your abdomen or to be you. You don't take this rising movement to be your abdomen or to be you yourself. Because what you are realizing here is natural process of movements, the process of movement. So natural process of a movement is not regarded as a person, a being itself or so. What's the nature? the nature. The nature is neither a person nor a being, neither you or not me. Then in this way, clear and sharp realization of just movement removes the idea of a person, a being, a me or mine, or you or he. It's called the realization of just rising movement and falling movement removes the wrong concept of a person or being, self or soul, sakayatiti atiti, which is the cause of all mental defilement. That's why you need to realize the specific characteristics of mental and physical phenomena. Suppose you stretch out your arms and you are daily routine. You bend your arms. When you stretch out your arms, you watch the movement of a stretching very attentively and precisely. First of all, you see your arms is stretching, your hand is stretching. When you bend it, you see your hand is bending. But when continuous and constant mindfulness of the movement of stretching becomes major, then concentration becomes deeper and deeper. Then you realize just stretching movement or bending movement without being conscious of the form of the hand at that moment. You have no idea of a hand, but what you are realizing at that moment is just a stretching and bending movements. These movements are the specific characteristic of a wind element, air element. It means that you are realizing the specific characteristics of wind or air element. Then what benefit can you obtain out of this realization of specific characteristics? Yes, when you are realizing just a stretching movement or bending movement without being aware of your hand, the form of the hand, then you don't take that movement for a person, a being, a me or an I. Because what you are seeing or realizing is just a stretching movement. When you are able to realize each individual movement, stretching movement, part by part, with a deeper concentration, there also you don't take the stretching movement for a person, a being, a man or a woman. What's that? That's a natural process of movement or motion. In this way, you can remove the wrong concept of a person or being self or soul, Sakaya Titi and the Titi. When you don't have this idea of a person or being self or soul, then there won't arise any mental defilements at all. Because mental defilement arise depending on the idea of a person, a being itself also. Now you don't have in your mind the idea of a person or being, because you are thoroughly realizing just stretching movements and bending movements, natural process. That's why you need to realize the specific characteristics of a body-mind process, of mental and physical phenomena. That's why I said the purpose of Vipassana meditation is to realize specific characteristics of mental and physical phenomena. Then, another one, general characteristics. General or common characteristics of a body-mind process is anicca, dukkha, and anatta in Pali. Anicca, impermanence. Dukkha, suffering. Anatta, impersonal nature, or no soul, no self nature. These are three basic characteristics of the existence are known as general or common characteristics of mental and physical phenomena. Because every mental state or every physical unit or material unit has these three characteristics. So these three characteristics belongs to all mental states and physical process. They are in common with all mental states and physical process. So they are called general or common characteristics of a mental and physical phenomena. Every mental state arises, then very instantly passes away, so it is subject to impermanence. Every physical process arises and then very instantly passes away, so it is impermanent. What is impermanent is known as suffering. Because any mental state or physical process is impermanent and suffering, it's neither a person nor a being. Neither a soul or self. Neither me or nor you. So it's known as anatta. Anatta means impersonal nature, no soul, no self nature. These are three characteristics, three general characteristics of a body-mind process. When you are able to experience the impermanence of mental state, which is observed, or impermanence of a physical process, which is observed, then you can judge through your experience that this is not everlasting soul, this is a not everlasting person or being, self. What's that? This is just natural process of mentality and physicality, which is impermanent, anicca. You come to realize. If you have realized the impermanence of any mental state or physical process, which is observed, you don't take it to be a person, a being itself or a soul. Then the ground concept of personality, individuality, self or soul has been destroyed. That is why I say the purpose of Vipassana meditation is to realize the specific characteristics and general characteristics of mental and physical phenomena. Then to thoroughly and clearly realize that these are two types of characteristics. What you should do is to be aware of any mental state or physical process as arising at that moment. To be mindful of, to be aware of whatever arises in your body and mind as it really occurs. This is called some mindfulness meditation or Vipassana meditation. To methodically and systematically practice this mindfulness meditation, you need to take care of some points or to remember some points. While sitting, you should sit cross-legged position or any other position you think comfortable for you. In Burma, almost all meditators sit placing their legs side by side. One leg inside and the other is outside. Placing two legs side by side. They do not sit in cross-legged position. Because when you cross a leg upon the other, then there is a pressure at the point of a contact of the two legs. That pressure gradually becomes severe. Then you feel painful sensation. Sometimes you feel numbness. So you can't sit for a long time. So cross-legged position is not very good for some of the meditators who does not get accustomed to do that. This position is good for Indian people who used to sit in the cross-legged position. So for Easterner, sitting the two legs placing side by side, one inside and the other outside, is it the best posture, I think, so that you can sit for a long time. And then your spine should be kept in straight. If the spine is not straight, if it's bent somewhat, you got feel the abdominal movement very well, because abdomen is pressed by the body, so it's not free to move very easily. So when you keep your body or spine straight, then the abdomen moves freely. Then you can note rising movement, falling movement, outward movement, inward movement very clearly, very easily. But while you are sitting, you should loosen your clothing at the waist. If the clothing is tight, the abdomen cannot move freely. So you may not feel it distinctly, clearly. When the clothing is loose at the waist, the abdomen moves very freely. So it can move very well. Then you can observe rising movement and falling movement very well. But you have to be careful not to stretch the body too much. If you stretch out the body, then there also you cannot feel a rise and fall movement very well. So you just keep the body or the spine straight. That's all. And also, when you close your eyes, you must not close it tightly. You should place the two eyelids just touching steadily and normally, not tightly. Then focus the mind on the abdominal movement. When the abdomen moves outward, note rising. When it moves inward, note falling. Mental note or labeling is not very much important. But at the beginning of the practice, it helps it to helps your mind to focus on the object very well. That's why we have to use mental note or labeling. So whenever the abdomen moves outward, note rising. Whenever it moves inward, note falling, rising, falling, rising, falling. But for some meditator, this rising falling movement of the abdomen is not distinct enough to note. Then he cannot note rising movement and falling movements. And 2 points of a touching sensation as alternative to abdominal movement. When you sit down with the spine upright, when you focus yourself, you feel you are sitting. It's enough to know as a sitting. You need not visualize the form of the body. You should not need not know the head or the ear, the shoulder, or the chest, or the waist, or the upper part of the body. You need not know, you need not perceive this form of a body. What you should do is to be aware of upright posture of the body as a sitting. Then there are many points of touching in your body while you are sitting. Out of many points of touching, the most prominent point of touching point, two points that should be chosen. Suppose the hand touches the thigh. When you sit, so that touching point is more prominent than the other touching point. You take it as the object of meditation. So, whatever arises must be observed, must be mindful of, but when there are two, three, four, or five phenomena arising at the same moment. Suppose you are rising and falling movement, it's also distinct. You feel itchy sensation on the back, in the back. You feel numbness in the leg. Then here, three objects rising, rising, falling, itchy sensation, and numbness in the leg. Out of these three, the most prominent object must be chosen, must be chosen as the object of meditation. Say, numbness in the leg is more prominent than the abdominal movement and itchy sensation. Then you should note the numbness, or numb, until the numbness has disappeared. After it has disappeared, you return to the primary object, that's the rising, falling movement. If the itching sensation in the back is more prominent than the others, then you should observe that itchy sensation. Observing the sensation of itching, making mental note as itchy, until the sensation has disappeared. After the itchy sensation has disappeared, you return to the primary object. In this way, when you have two, three, or four mental states of physical process arising at the same moment, the mind chooses the most prominent object and observe it. It's right. As it is. But if the while you are contemplating rise and fall movement, if the rise and fall movement is not clear enough, then you can put your two hands on the abdomen. The two hands should be placed on the abdomen. When the abdomen rises, the hand feels it. When the abdomen falls, then the hands feel it. Then you can note rising, falling. If it doesn't work, you should choose to note sitting and two points of touching. Sitting, touching, sitting, touching. Touching points should not be the same all the time. It must be shift one point of attachment to another. Say, you note a touching point contact between the body and the seat and buttocks. Then you observe it touching, sitting, touching, touching, sitting, touching, touching. After 2 minutes concentration on the touching point at the contact between the body and the clothing or the mat or the cushion, then you should shift to another point of attraction. Say, you observe the touching point between the hand and the thigh. About 2 minutes after that, you should shift to another point. Why? Because if you watch or note only a single point of touching regularly, it becomes monotonous. Then your effort becomes less, because the same, to note the same object repeatedly is very easy. When the effort becomes less, your mind goes out, wanders, thinks about something else. Sometimes you do not know it, sometimes you know it. As soon as you know the mind is wandering, then you note wandering, wandering, wandering. After the wandering mind has stopped, you return to the primary object, sitting, and 2 points of attaching, sitting, touching, touching, sitting, touching, touching. That is alternated to abdominal movement. Only when the abdominal movement is not distinct enough, you should use sitting posture and 2 points of attraction as the object of meditation. In the walking also, you should be careful. In the walking, your stepping must be normal, natural. You must not lift it too high. You must not lift it, push it forward too long. So you have to lift the foot, say it about 1 or 2 inches high. Then after lifting, you note pushing. Being aware of pushing movement, making mental note as pushing. Then, when you drop the foot down, observe it and note dropping. But your step should be not very long. It should be a length of a foot. A step should be a length of a foot. If you make a long step, say about 4 or 5 inches, then the length of a foot, then you can't observe each movement very well. So the length of the step must be a length of a foot. When you put down the foot, you must not put it down one after another. If you put the foot down in front of the straining foot, one after another, then you can keep your body balanced. So your foot, you should put down the foot say about 1 inch apart between the heel of the front foot and the toe of the back foot. Say it about 1 or 2 inches apart. In this way, you can keep your body balanced. And another point is, when you put down the foot, you put it down flat. Some of the meditators, they put the heel first, and then gradually putting down the toe later. It's not good to observe. So, you should put the foot down flat so that you can be aware of the pushing movement very well and also touching sensation very well when the foot touches the floor or the ground. There, you feel touching sensation. So, you should open that bit. The knee and the walking, the 2 points. The step should be a length of a foot. When the foot is put down, it must be put down flat. Do not look around here and there. Look at about 6 feet ahead of you with half-closed eyes. But the mind, the power of the mind must be the movement of the foot all the time. These are some points to be careful about. So, may all of you can rightly, methodically, and systematically practice this type of Vipassana meditation and experience specific and general characteristics of a Bodhima process and attain Nibbana, the cessation of the suffering.